everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
He's an African-American Indian born in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, East Africa, and has spent most of his life on this African subcontinent until divine providence would bring him to the United States of America, where he would then earn his credentials in journalism, begin his career in Washington, D.C. for CNN, and then later make a move to one of the largest televised ministries in the world, where he now works as their senior reporter and co-anchor, covering a wide range of international stories that has literally taken him around the globe and into over 75 countries these past 20-plus years. My next guest will share what isn't being reported by mainstream media, a calling he was born to do and does brilliantly. Would you welcome with me today from his studio in Virginia Beach, CBN's international news correspondent and co-anchor of CBN News and my honored friend, Mr. George Thomas. George, welcome to Testimony.
Hey, Jensine, it's a pleasure to be on your broadcast, and what a thrill to come on your show and share a little bit about my own walk in the business of television, and but more importantly, about what God is doing around the world. Truly a pleasure and an honor. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you, George. The honor is really all ours. You have led an amazing life and a career that few people have the opportunity of experiencing. But before we talk about some of those amazing experiences, George, I would love to give our listeners a little peek into the personal side of George Thomas. How and why you came to America, what brought you to CBN, and how you view our country from the eyes of someone who's lived more than half their life on another continent, the beautiful continent of Africa. George, please tell us that story.
Thank you. Well, it's a very long story, but it started in the city of Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. As you mentioned at the top of the show, that's where I was born, but only spent about 3 years there, pretty much from the age of 0 to 3, and then I moved to Lusaka, Zambia. My father was a career banker, has spent 60-plus years on the African continent. Basically, he sailed on a Titanic-like ship from the shores of southern India, crossed to the Indian Ocean, and landed on the shores of Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, in the early 30s. And a young man at in his mid-30s, and the idea he wanted to pursue a different life, try and get into the banking business, and that's what he did. And several years later, sailed back to the southernmost tip of India, got married, and brought his lovely bride to the shores of Dar es Salaam. And then I was born, my brother was born a few years later, and we ended up moving to Lusaka, Zambia. And really, at a very young age, you know, I like to tell folks who are aspiring to be journalists, so much of my career started at a very, very young age. I remember when I was earliest memories, 4, 5, 6 years old, my parents would gather us as a family every day, 7 days a week, would gather us for daily devotions early in the morning, and then shortly before 7 o'clock, we would hear the beeps of the BBC radio being broadcast from the United Kingdom. And then shortly after that, we would hear the Voice of America via radio. And he instilled in me at a very, very young age the sort of love affair with news. And partly that was because, you know, we lived in a country that was ruled, in essence, by a dictator. His name was Kenneth Kaunda. He was the president of Zambia for 30-plus years. One man, one vote, one party. And he instilled in me and my brother at a very, very young age this idea that you have got to know about not just the country you live in, but also the outside world and people from different cultures. And it's interesting because at a young age, you know, when I should have been reading Archie books and Superman and Spider-Man, my father would insist that his two sons pick up a copy of either The Economist. And back then, in the early days of the 70s, early 80s, The Economist, a leading British news weekly magazine, was not in color. It was all black and white, no pictures. So it was all very, very small font, probably 8 or 9 font size, and quite hideous to read. Did not understand it very much. But it was a choice between The Economist, Newsweek, or Time magazine. And he would insist that every week his two boys read the magazine and pick a particular story that fascinated us. It could be anything from politics to entertainment or cultural issues, and then we had to write a one paragraph synopsis as to why we thought that was an important story and what we thought about it. And so that I hated my father back then, growing up thinking I was being totally neglected of a childhood in terms of being able to enjoy cool comic strips, whether it was like I said, Spider-Man or Superman. But all these years later, I have I often say to him how appreciative I am of him, in essence, forcing us back then to learn about the world and to understand what it meant to be part of the globe and of being able to understand the circumstances, the situations, the events that were unfolding, not just in our country but around the world, only because I was an Indian living in Africa, a boy of the African continent, but yet living in two different cultures, being of an Indian descent, but living not in my motherland per se, but living on the African continent. And so that really was sort of the foundations that were laid at a very, very young age, that my father instilled in me this desire to learn about news events, to learn about current events. You know, the exciting thing about being a journalist, I tell folks when I have the opportunity to speak at universities and to in college student settings, I always tell them, you know, every day I'm guaranteed to wake up every day to learn something new about the world that I live in. And that just absolutely gets me going, because the excitement to know that I can learn some piece of information, something about a culture, something about a country, something about my own country, and other countries and cultures that I'm guaranteed every day. And so that makes my business and what I do every day all the more exciting, and because then I have the opportunity and the privilege, really the honor, to synthesize and make sense of the events that are unfolding, and to try and concisely with all the facts possible laid out before me, and be able to go on television and put that in the form of a story, and hopefully make an impact in terms of being able to communicate something and help people understand the very, very, very complex world that we live in today.
Now, George, you do an amazing job. I have seen you firsthand. What brought you from CNN to CBN, and what's the difference?
Well, you know, it was the opportunity at CNN was just absolutely unbelievable. You have to understand, you know, for those of us graduating with a degree, a bachelor's in journalism, I knew very, very early on when I started my first semester at university studying for a bachelor's, I knew that I would be in a rat race with thousands of other wannabe journalists in America wanting to land a great job in the television industry, and people would always tell me, you know, my professors and those who guided us in terms of being able to chart a career path, they would always say, in the television business, you have got to start at the bottom, in terms of starting at like a 200th market, going to Podunk, Idaho. Nothing against Podunk, Idaho, but in essence, a very small market, and then work your way up to a top 10, top 20, whether it's Atlanta, New York, Washington, D.C., Boston, Los Angeles, you name it, the top five, New York City, D.C., and so forth. And that was sort of the idea, that you had to, when you finished your degree, you had to start off in a third, fourth market and work your way up. And it's funny because I had all of this history, this love affair with foreign affairs and the world, and wanting to, my heart's desire was really to travel the world. If I could be a foreign correspondent, and I thought there's no way I could do that starting off at a 200th market. I just thought this is going to take way too long, and it's not going to be possible. And so I started applying to all the major networks. This was about a year before I graduated from college, and I started applying to ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, all the various network news shows, the various specials like Primetime, 2020, 48 Hours, 60 Minutes, all of them. I mean, I went right to the top because I said, there's no way, I don't want to be that reporter who does the story, you know, on the third shift about the cat up in the tree and the five-alarm fire. Right. In my neighborhood. That was just not my calling. And I knew everybody was telling me that was the route. That's the way you do the business of television, and that's how you work your way up. And I said, Lord, that's just not going to be me. You have got to move heaven and earth on my behalf. And so what I did was, my first semester in college, I started internships. And in essence, right after I finished my college degree, I had under my belt about 7 internships that I had done within a span of 3.5 years. I was called the intern king because I needed to get as much experience in the local business so that once I graduated from college, I had some experience. I had more than just a great GPA and all this book knowledge, but I could reach into my pocket and rub 2 dimes together. And the idea there is that I could string together a few words and tell a story. I could put together a story from a video perspective. And so I had that, I needed that experience. And one day at one of my letters, one of my applications, resumes was found by a producer in Washington, D.C. at CNN. And the funny thing is that he called me up and he said, hey, you know, we've got this internship opportunity at CNN, and your resume is in front of me, and I'd like to interview you on the phone. And I said, I'm just thrilled. I said, you know what, I'm not too far away from you. I can be in D.C. in about 3 hours or less this week. Let me do this. And he says, no, you don't understand. I have about 1,500 applicants to interview and to select from. I don't have time to see you. And he says, why don't we make an appointment this week? And I said, sure. And I was so determined that the next day I got on a train and I went to Washington, D.C., and I sat outside this producer's door.
George, we have about 10 seconds left.
Sure. And so from there, short story, it ended up that I got hired as an intern and then eventually got hired by CNN.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to George Thomas, CBN International News Correspondent. We will be talking more with George next week on Testimony. George, thank you so very much for sharing a little of your story. I look forward to hearing more next week on Testimony.
You're most welcome.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JenSinebard.com, or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony. From Iraq to Afghanistan, reporting on America's war on terror, to Beirut, Lebanon during the Israeli-Hezbollah war, to the Olympic Games in Beijing, China, to earthquakes and tsunamis in Indonesia, Haiti, Sri Lanka, Taiwan, and Chile,
to the heart of Ethiopia and the continent of Africa, reporting on the threat of Al-Qaeda. Is there any place this seasoned journalist has not been? In his over two decades of on-the-ground reporting and 75 countries later? Here with us today to share more of his story and what you need to know that you are not hearing by the mainstream media is Christian Broadcasting Network's international news correspondent and co-anchor of CBN News and my honored friend, Mr. George Thomas. George, welcome back to Testimony.
Jensen, great to be back on the broadcast with you again, and just a privilege and honor to share a little behind the scenes of what is going on in our current events that you see unfold before your television screens, and it's a pleasure to be on your show.
It's an honor to have you here, George. In part one of our two-part conversation from last week, you shared the more personal side of your life and career and some of what you have seen in your two decades of on-the-ground reporting, literally all over this world. And for this segment, George, I'd like for you to take our listeners behind the scenes of some of today's biggest headlines, the story behind the story, and what we are not hearing, the miracles that are not being reported. George, please tell us that story.
I think, you know, it's these are unprecedented days that we live in, and you look at what is happening globally, specifically what's happening in the heart of the Middle East. You look at a stretch of land from Casablanca, Morocco, all the way to Damascus, Syria, and it is an area of the world that is experiencing a convulsion like none other. And these are historic times, and we thought the events of 9/11 were significant. They were, and they continue to be. The effects of that continue to ripple across our nation and around the world. But then came Iraq, then came Afghanistan, and then we saw last year the events unfolding on the streets of Cairo, right in the middle of Tahrir Square, and then beginning to spread to Libya, to Tripoli, to Tunisia, now to Syria. And so we see the events taking place in Iran as it relates to the relationship that the Iranians have with Israel and the United States. And so these are unprecedented times. And what I'd like to share, really what isn't being reported by the mainstream media, is the profound move of God and the religious revival, most specifically the Christian revival, that's taking place in this swath of land that I described from Casablanca to Damascus, Syria. And it's a profound move of God. I think we're seeing the number of Muslims who are deciding to place their trust in Jesus Christ, the numbers of Muslims converting to Christianity that we haven't seen, the statisticians have never seen before, the record numbers that are seeing, experiencing dreams and visions, and that's the hopeful side. You know, I've spent some time in Iran, one of my favorite countries that I like to tell people in all of the travels around the world, and to see God move among the Iranian people. Here's a country that 70 to 75% of the country is under the age of 30, 35 years old, and so they have this profound desire to understand the world that they live in, and so many of them are turning away from Islam, turning away from what their parents had fought for during the 1979 revolution, this idea that they would raise the banner of Islam, not just in Iran, but around the Muslim world. And so many of them are rebelling against it because they want to find a way to bring hope into their lives. And so you're seeing it not just in Iran, you're seeing it in Saudi Arabia, you're seeing it in Kuwait, in Egypt, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Granted, in so many of these places, the life is so challenging because they're dealing with the acts of terrorism by fellow Muslims killing Muslims. You see this happening in Egypt. Don't get me wrong, the persecution against Christians is intense in these places, as they're seeing a convulsion and these turning upside down of these communities and these countries. But behind the scenes, the encouraging part, that in the midst of tremendous hardship in the midst of intense persecution and challenges. The Church of Jesus Christ is exploding in so many of these Muslim countries.
Now, for those of you who may have just tuned in, you're listening to international news correspondent George Thomas, who has literally traveled the globe, been in over 75 countries reporting on the events that you are hearing about today. George, you are of African American Indian descent. How has that helped you in your reach globally, or has it?
It's interesting when you say African American Indian. You know, just to make sure that your viewers understand, I am of Indian descent, but I like to tell my African American friends that I am more African than they are, because I am. I was born and raised and lived half my life on the African continent. But yes, my ethnicity, my background has really opened tremendous doors when it comes to reporting in places like the Middle East, partly because of my ethnicity. There is, you know, there's something about India. India has always been known historically, and even today from a political standpoint, you know, Indians are considered as non-violent, a non-violent nation. They're non-violent people. And I tell them, they ask me, who are you? Where do you come from? What passport do you carry? And they see that I'm of Indian descent. That has really, I can't tell you the number of times where that has saved my life, obviously, for not excluding God's protection and those who back home are praying for me. But really, that has allowed me to go into some very sensitive places and really allowed me to gain access to people and information, and really to be able to connect with people from that perspective, and also to share. Yeah, you know, I've lived half my life in Africa, and it's opened tremendous doors over the years in numerous countries around the world.
Well, now, George, I'd like to talk about some of the specific stories that you are covering now. You are a student of history, that is obvious. My question to you now is, where do you see America headed in this next decade, and what as Christians should we be most concerned about, and why?
You know, I think there's a lot of concern about the state of Christianity, about the state of the church in America. There's and for that matter, North America, Western Europe. I think, you know, to our viewers, we shouldn't be discouraged. You know, when we see the challenges Christians are facing, the eroding of family values and so forth, I can't tell you the number of places I have been, closed countries in the Middle East or Southeast Asia, where believers, secret believers, are spending hours a day praying for the United States of America. That is so humbling to me, because these are folks who have been for decades recipients of the gospel message, partly because American missionaries, Western missionaries, whether from Great Britain or Canada, Australia, and so forth, traveled to these distant shores to, at one time, decades ago, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, these folks are turning around and say, you know what, we need to be part of this amazing thing called the Great Commission. And we see that our brothers and sisters in the United States are facing challenges. There's the assault on the family, on Christian life, and the ability to proclaim Jesus Christ freely in the public square. And this trend to make God a persona non grata, not invited into the public square. We need to pray for them. It's our turn to pray for them. And so what you have is this so-called Global South movement, where God is moving in the Global South, in the so-called Global South, Africa, Asia, Latin America, and in the process, you have Chinese, African, Brazilian, Ecuadorian, Peruvian missionaries who are saying it is our time to be part of the Great Commission, and we are going to the shores of America to encourage our believers, to encourage our brothers and sisters to not forget their first love. And so when I look at the landscape, the spiritual landscape of our nation, sure, there are challenges, but you know, God in his divine creativity and just his love for people has raised up a generation of believers from other parts of the world, young men and women from China, from Vietnam, from Saudi Arabia, from Sri Lanka, India, Pakistan, Brazil, South America, and so forth, to come and share the gospel, not just to our shores here in the United States, but also to go to these very difficult areas around the world, whether it's in the Middle East or Southeast Asia or some of the closed countries, to be carriers of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be part of this amazing thing called the Great Commission. And so in some ways you can be discouraged when you look at the landscape, the spiritual landscape, but I'm always encouraged when I travel and I go to these secret underground church meetings and how they say to me, you know, don't be discouraged. We are praying for you. God is going to move mightily upon your nation. And don't stop believing in Jesus Christ and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So some would think that we are the ones that should be encouraging the nations of the world, yet you're saying that that is quite the opposite. That is humbling, George. We have people that we are never going to see praying for us here in America, and we certainly do need it, George. In our remaining moment here, George, I would just like for you to reach out to our audience with some words of encouragement of what we can practically do to help get the gospel of Jesus Christ out.
Peter says that we should always be armed and ready to give a reason for the hope that lies in each one of us. And I tell believers specifically, next to your bedside should be obviously the copy of the Bible. Any newspaper out there, it doesn't matter what it is, but you have to be informed so that in the midst of challenges, whether it's economic, political, I know you're concerned about what's happening in the Middle East. I know you're concerned about the economic times. But let me tell you about this man, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about how time comes. You will be ready to articulate your thoughts, articulate what's going on, but also, like Peter says, you will be armed. You will be armed and ready for the hope, with the hope that lies in you, to give an answer, to give a reason for the things that you believe in.
Well, George, we are out of time today, but I want to thank you so much for being with us on Testimony Today. You are preaching what a lot of pastors in America should be preaching, and I pray that they are and will be. Thank you for your witness. Thank you for your global work. We'd love to have you come back sometime. Ladies and gentlemen, George Thomas, CBN International News Correspondent. Thank you, George. God bless you.
Jensen, thank you so much. Thank you also for what you do to illuminate and chronicle what God is doing around this country and around the world. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensenebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony.